Morning. It's great to have everybody here. If you got your Bibles, open them up to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Got a lot of things that I'd like to accomplish today in the three services. And sometimes when we have a lot of things, we move kind of quickly. But I also don't want to move too quickly to where doesn't give a good understanding of the truth that's going to happen. But today we're going to looking at some principles for stewardship and some stewardship in different areas. We're going to make an application when it comes to money, but that's not going to be the big thing. It's going to be talking about stewardship of different things. There's all types of things that we're stewards of. And I think being a Sunday school crowd, we have a good understanding of what a steward is, but we're going to discuss that a little bit more in a Sunday morning service. But today in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, we're going to talk about the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. The fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Let's go over a couple announcements and then we'll be ready to hop right in. Remember, this coming Wednesday evening, missionary Alan Berry will be preaching for us in the Wednesday night service. Remember, next Sunday, it's already here, it's I Love My Church Sunday. And looking forward to a really good day. The church will be providing some chicken and dumplings. Some of the ladies will be making it. If you're able to, we ask you to bring some desserts and canned and bottled drinks. If you signed up to help bring a soup in, please bring that soup in. If you want to bring something else, obviously you're welcome to bring something else. Some people don't like chicken and dumplings and some people don't like soup, things like that. But those are things that that we'll have as the main courses, and then whatever desserts and whatever canned and bottled drinks that you bring in. We'll have those things that day. Going to have a Sing-spiration after that. Got a lot of different special music lined up. Brother Christian will be preaching a shorter message that afternoon. So looking forward to just a good day all around. On the 17th is a work day here at the church. We haven't had one of those for a little while. It's a large facility. There's a lot of different things that need to be done. So if you're able to come and help us, we would love to have that. Have you be a part of that. Missions conference coming up February 28th to March 1st. And there will be a business meeting on March 10th, too. So, okay, so that's enough for the announcements. So the idea is, say, Pastor, what are you talking about? What are we stewarding? We're stewarding our church family, our relationships we have. And so I don't think I've ever brought a message when it talks about stewarding. We talk about stewarding our treasure. You know, that's many times our finances, our possessions. We talk about treasure, stewarding our thoughts, because our thought life is such a key and important thing. We talk about stewarding a lot of different T's out there, our testimony, the truth. We're going to look at that a little bit this morning in the Sunday morning. Just lots of different things that we can have, our time, our talents. There's lots of different things we can steward. But one of the things I think is important to understand is our church family. We have such a wonderful blessing to be a part of a local independent Baptist church. And how are we going to steward that? And stewardship in the basic level, we're going to talk more about this in the Sunday morning hour, is we're a manager of something. God's given us all something. God's given us all life. God's given us a certain number of seconds, minutes, hours, days, years, whatever that is, whatever that looks like, where you're at on that journey, we've been that. So how are we going to steward that? And then we look at it from the idea of when it comes to treasures, when it comes to our time, when it comes to our talents, when it comes to our thoughts, how God's given us all these things now. How are we going to manage those? How are we going to take care of those? Because we know our life does not belong to ourselves. It belongs to the Lord. If it belongs to the Lord, then guess what? How am I going to take care of that? Just as someone asks you to take care of something for them, it's they're not giving it to you. Instead, they're saying, hey, can you help watch my children for a few hours? Or can you help take care of my home for a little while? Or can you help? This is something that I'm asking you to manage, something I'm asking you to be a part of, something I'm asking you to take care of. And when it comes to our church family, it's something we many times like to say, and we even said it with I Love My Church Sunday. You know, we have that things going on. I love my church. We talk about it in a possessive type form. And I get it, because it's our church, but it doesn't belong to us and it belongs to the Lord. So one of the things I want us to do is to understand the importance of the church family, but also how are we doing with our role? All of us have a role in the church. All of us have a part inside the church. And how do we do it? So couple of things I would like you to look at. First of all, let's read here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Fantastic passage of scripture. Many times it's talked about the churches in Macedonia. We know those would be Thessalonica, Philippi, you know, some of those other ones that are up there, Berea, that type of area. And it's something that they are setting it apart and saying, here's these churches. They're an example. They have stewarded something, and he's bringing it to the church of Corinth and says, hey, pay attention to what they're doing over here. There's something really important that they're doing over here. And why does he do this? Is he doing this because he just wants to win points with those churches in Macedonia? Of course not. But why is he doing this? He's doing this to speak to the church of Corinth. He's trying to get them to pay attention to something. Remember, what is the Bible? The Bible's a mirror. The Bible reflects. When we look into the Bible, it's something we're supposed to see about ourselves. It's something that we're supposed to have a part of and understand. When we look at it and when we see, when we understand, we want to change it. I'm guessing that most of us looked in the mirror today. From looks of it, it looks like everybody looked in the mirror today. I don't know if you did or not, but more than likely we looked in the mirror today. More than likely we looked in the mirror multiple times already today. Some of us probably even looked in the mirror since we've been in this building, because of the fact that we look in the mirror to make sure that we look fine, make sure that we look appropriate, and make sure that we look in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. And here we come to this, we're looking at the Bible, he's talking to the church of Corinth, and he brings up an example about how to minister to the saints. Now, I wonder, what is it that we want and desire from our church? What is it? What part do we want to play in our church? Once again, we say our church, and it belongs to the Lord. So if it belongs to the Lord, what are we supposed to say? Not what is it that I want to be a part of? What is it that God wants me to be a part of? And so let's look here. Let's jump in here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. Now that phrase, do you to wit of, that's an interesting phrase. He's saying there's something I want you to know. Know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, the unmerited favor of God that's been demonstrated at these churches of Macedonia. Now look at the description. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I hear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that he had begun so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's a simple request, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that every single person in this room would have the same request. Lord, speak to us today. Lord, speak to your church. Lord, speak to each person's heart in a specific way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's what we're looking for when it comes to preaching, when we come to church. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be interested in what the Lord wants to tell us. That's what we're supposed to be desiring. That's what we're supposed to be. Guess that's where we come. We want to hear from the Lord. When's the last time you prayed that? And I know we have just prayed here recently and just a few seconds ago. And that's what the request should be. Lord, I want you to speak to my heart today. Stop with this idea of just showing up in a building and just playing a role. Lord, would you just speak to my heart today? Lord, whatever it is you want me to hear. And once it goes back to that. Whose church is it? It's the Lord's church. What does the Lord want it to look like? So often we get hung up on, hey, this is what I think it should look like, or this is what they think it should look like. And once again, what does the Lord want it to look like? What is the Lord trying to do? What is the Lord trying to allow to happen and allow these things to happen? Because this church is in Macedonia. You're going to see they were going through a difficult time. They were going through a hard time. They were going through this to where they could not even take care of themselves in some way. But the question is, what is it? He's taken taken these churches and he's made them model churches. He wants us to look at them. He wants us to experience what they're experiencing. He wants us to experience the grace of God that they experience. And look what it says at the end of verse number 7, and your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. He's saying to the church of Corinth, they are demonstrating the unmerited favor of God unlike anything else that's been demonstrated, unlike anything else that's been seen. He picks it up and he says, here's a model church. Their grace has happened here. They're giving the way they look at things. I want this to happen in your life too. And that's what he's saying. So when we talk about at the end of verse number, I think it's here at the end of verse number four, it says, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So how do we experience that grace? What is it that we go through? And here's the thing is, let us be a church that would be wide open to whatever God wants. Whatever his word says, I'm interested in. God, would you speak to my heart? I don't need my church to look a certain way. I don't need my church to act a certain way. I need my church to be exactly what the Lord wants it to be. And of course, it's going to look a certain way. Of course, it's going to act a certain way. But different churches go through different things and they experience different things. And the Lord's trying to do the same type of work in all of us, but he uses different avenues and different ways. And here in this church, you look what it says in verse number 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joys and their deep poverty. They're going through a difficult time. They're going through a hard time. They are. I've learned something over the years. Pretty much everybody's going through a hard time. Now, I know sometimes there might be a child out there that does not have the concerns and cares of this world, and maybe a four-year-old just loving life, and they don't really have any problems. But as you get older, guess what? We all have problems. Now, they all look different. Some of them are financial, like you see here. Some are emotional. Some are family. Some are physical. Some are spiritual. And if we would concentrate on those problems, you know what's going to happen? We're going to miss the grace of God. It's when we focus and fixate on things that we cannot control, we let it define our lives. And as we let it define our lives, God's not able to do the work he wants to. If we talked about this last Sunday night a little bit about stewarding trials, you can let that trial of your life become that wedge that separates you from God, or you can let that trial of life be that thing that prods you to God. And that's what this church does. And I love the example of this church. I know it's often preached on when it talks about grace giving or faith promise, and it talks about and are giving because these churches, they just all they wanted to do is they wanted to further the work of the Lord. They wanted to help other Christians. It comes to the point you kind of picture that they were asking, and it says in verse number 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saint to the saints. It's the idea that they were begging them to take the offering. You'd ever been to a church service? Hey, pastor, can we take the offering? We're so excited about giving. We've never had that. Maybe at Kids Crusade when they do that, they get it, that joyful giving, and with the penny parade, maybe. But you know, most of the time, people look at church and look at people and they say, you know what? They're begging me for my money. I mean, sometimes when people are ushers, no, they're going up and gathering. They're begging. They missed the whole point here. This church was experiencing the grace of God to a point that they said, look, we want you to take this. And God shows us in this church that even though the great trials of affliction, even in their deep poverty, he held this church up to say, this is not about their church building. This is not about their programs. This is not about how sharp they look. This is about that Jesus is enough. And they, in there together as a group, have said, as a believer group, we just want God to do a work in our hearts. And God, even though we're in deep affliction and in great affliction and deep poverty, we want to just give whatever the Lord wants. We are open to whatever God wants to do. No matter what's happening in my life, I'm going to use it as a way to prod me to Jesus Christ instead of letting it drive a wedge between me and God and what God's trying to do. What I see here is a church that's responsive. They're not fixated on their problems. They're fixated on their poverty. They're not fixated on their afflictions. And they're praying. And that's what the Lord is saying here. I want this to happen in the church of Corinth.
That's what the Apostle Paul is writing. I want this. This is not seen in the Church of Corinth. Church of Corinth was the group that had said, hey, we will do this. We'll make this happen, but it's not happening. And that's why he sends Titus when it says here, insomuch in verse number 6, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. They had committed to giving something and they wasn't ready for it. And he was showing this by example. Look at the grace of God that's happening here. Let what happened in the Church of Corinth in the Macedonia happen in you. And I think that's the same prayer for us today. It's not written there for us. Just look at, man, Corinth was carnal. Corinth did some bad things. Corinth, the Disney question in 2 Corinthians, Corinth was so carnal. It's not there for us to sit there and look at Corinth and trying to mow them down and say, man, no, look how horrible. No, it's for us to look at ourselves and say, I don't want to be like that. And then when we look at the churches of Macedonia, how can I let this happen? How can we have our hearts open and say, God, whatever work you want to do in my life, whatever work you want to do in this church, whatever work you want to do in my heart, by the grace of God, Lord, I'm going to allow you to do it. That's how a church is open. He it's a mirror there that reflects, do we act like this? And if we're talking about stewarding our fellowship, and that's what it says there at the end of verse number 4, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, fellowship is bigger than what we think of. I know sometimes people think of fellowship, what's the first thing you think of? It's food. It's not that. That's we call them fellowships because we spend time. But we're gathered. It's a heart issue where we think of fellowship being handshaking. And who knows, maybe sometime in the future, I know COVID's over, we stopped handshaking before, but we might bring handshaking back because that's the form of fellowship. You're showing your fellowship with one another by shaking hands. But we fellowship around Christ. In scripture, it's a heart level. It's the things we have in common with Jesus Christ. Now, stewardship, it's a personal thing. How am I personally taking care of what God has given me? So how am I personally taking advantage or managing the opportunity that God has given me to be a member of this church? How am I taking advantage and what am I doing to help with the fellowship or the ministering of the fellowship to the saints? So am I doing my part? Am I managing the opportunities I have? Am I, and once again, it's the Lord's church. Once again, we believe the Lord's put us here. I know I asked you guys not to sign the papers. I'm going to break the rule a little bit and tell you what I wrote on one of my papers. And you can see it one of the days. It says on mine, you can tell by my not very sharp handwriting. That's one thing I can't handwrite very well. If you ever see a really pretty card, really pretty handwriting, I ask my wife to do it because she has that. If you ever see a card that doesn't look like it has, you can't hardly read it, it's mine. On my paper, I filled out a few hearts. On one of my papers, I put, this is where the Lord wants me, or this is where the Lord has me, or where the Lord's called me. I don't remember exactly. And if this is where God wants me, I'm going to love it with all my heart. I don't care about the warts. I don't care about if it has money in the bank, if it doesn't have money in the bank. I don't care if it has this ministry or that ministry. If this is where God wants me, I'm going to love it. I'm going to steward it. I'm going to do everything I can to make it exactly what God wants it to be and pray that we will allow God to do a work in the heart, just like they did in this church in Macedonia. So that way someday, and we're not doing it to be an example, but that way it could be an example to our young people is that, hey, I'm not going to go around bad-mouthing the different things at a church. No, this is where God wants me. Until he moves me, I'm going to love it. I'm going to love it with all my heart. Why is it? Because it belongs to him. And if I love him, it's going to be something I'm going to want to be in, I'm going to want to do. And the fellowship of the ministering of the saints, it begins when we're saved, and it begins after we're baptized and we're part of a local church. And as I consider myself as part of this local church, what am I doing to steward that relationship? What am I doing? We must understand it as a big picture. First and foremost, it says here that they gave themselves, as we looked at the widow's mite last week, she gave herself to the Lord. She gave all that she has. And it says in verse number 4, praying us with much entreaty, we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship and the ministering of the saints. We love that. They're praying, God, use us. God, take this offering. And this they did, not as we hoped. They went beyond what they hoped, but first gave them own selves to the Lord. They gave themselves first and foremost. And they says, I'm open to whatever you want, God. And that's what happened in the church. And this is the response. So if we give ourselves to the Lord, there's no telling what he's going to do. No telling what he can do in our hearts and lives. Remember when we went through the churches of Asia, or the seven churches in the book of Revelation, how God went and he wrote a letter to all those churches. I know what you've done. This is what you've done wrong. This is how you get it right. We went through what would God write about our church? More importantly, spin that around. What would you want God to write about our church? See, that's where the selfishness comes in sometimes. Because if it's anything different than I want this church to be exactly what God wants it to be, we missed the point. Because it's his. It's not ours. And yes, it's going to mean it's going to look like a place that is loving one another and is unified, and one that's going to be, that reaches out, and one that's going to care about the lost, and one that's going to be known for praying. Of course, so all those things are going to be, but that's what we want it to be. I want it to be what the Lord wants it to be. I want to know what the Lord would say about Faith Baptist Church. Would it have lots of missionaries? Would it have programs to others? Yes, but what is it that we would want to say? What would somebody else write about our church? I'm thankful that many times you hear that our church is friendly. I think that's wonderful. I think it's a blessing. And like I said, I love my church because you're going to see a lot of wonderful things. And there are some things that are because we've named the other ones. We come to this other spot and we say, well, you know what? I like our fellowships. I enjoy their fellowships. Yeah, I like that some people can cook really good. I enjoy those things. But that's not the main thing. I want this church to be strong in the Lord. I want it to accomplish everything that God wants to accomplish in this church. That's exactly what we should desire. That's exactly what we want. Now, how does that happen? It's when we begin to steward and say, God, I want everything you want for my life. I'm willing to get rid of everything else that does you do not want in my life. I want everything you want in my life. So that way I am part of a church that has everything it wants in its life. Because the only time it's ever going to come to a spot that, God, please make this church whatever you want it to be, is we're part of this local group and part of this local body, is when us as members will turn around and say, God, I want you to do whatever you want in my life. And it's going to reflect as part of this body as we come together as a group and say, God, whatever it is you want here, I'm in. Give it whatever you want. And that's what he's saying here. So it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's looking at a bigger picture. It's not about what I can get out of church. Some people go church shopping. They look around and it's like, oh, I wonder what this program has for my children. And I wonder what this, and you know, it has nice facilities. It has this. Look for where God wants you and then love where he wants you. Yes. Know that. Yes. Get involved and remember, this is God's church and I'm going to do whatever I can to be a good steward of. There's three simple little things here. First thing I want you to see is found in verse number one. Moreover, anybody see the next word? What's the next word? Brethren. So what does that mean? As we are family. Stewardship is a family business. It's our business to take care of our family, right? We would sit there and we would look around and say, that's a deadbeat dad because he didn't take care of his children. It's 1 Timothy 5:8 puts it this way, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and worse than an infidel. And I know some men, if I said to them that they're not taking care of their family, they would say, you know, that they would take that as a personal insult. We're family. I know it's a spiritual family, but just as a spiritual family, we have a responsibility to this church to take care of this church. You say, well, Pastor, I give. Remember, today's is not about the giving. It's not about the money. It's about the motive. And I want us to help and understand here is that so often we get so fixated on other things, we miss everything, and we got to realize that we're part of a family, and we're talking about the stewardship of the fellowship of the believers. That's talking about there is the fellowship of the believers and how we minister to the saints. And if we're part of a family, it reminds us something. What makes a person a brother and sister? They have the same father. And once again, if it's his church and we're his children, guess what? We have the same father. It's our church. We're brothers and sisters in Christ because we have the same father. How we treat one another is important. You are part of God's family now, and he has placed you in a local assembly, this church family, so we should steward that relationship. Stewardship is not always about money. It's the motive behind the money. And if you're going to get right with the Lord, you know what? You're going to be right with your money. But the biggest picture of it is, what is God trying to do in our church? Does he want us to see it, to be a witness and reach others? Does he want us to further the gospel? If so, are we stewarding that? Are we doing our part? Are we having and saying, okay, I'm going to do this. Now, okay, that's fine. Stop it. What is it God wants me to do? Instead of saying, I want to do this, because it's not a selfish thing. It's God's church. The second thing I want you to see is when you see in verse number 2, it reminds me the great trial of affliction and of their deep poverty reminds me that we're also in a fight. We're soldiers in the same fight. We're supposed to be fighting together, not against one another. I heard a preacher say this, and I always thought it was interesting, that sometimes the flock of the Lord is more like a goat pen than it is a sheepfold, because it seems like more people are butting heads than they are working together and following the leader. And that is cute, and that was funny, but at the same time, how true is that? Is that we're not following the Lord. Instead, we're too busy butting heads with one another and worried about everybody else instead of saying, what is it that God wants me to do? He's given us a church. He's given us a family. He's given us a wonderful facility. He's given us, in the recent years, good with the finances. He's given us so much to accomplish his will. It's his church, and we are supposed to be fighting together, not fighting against one another. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. Where do you see that? It's right here. This church is trying to live for God, and they're facing a trial of affliction. They're facing deep poverty. Anytime you try to get closer to the Lord, you're going to have a fight on your hand. The closer you get to God's purpose, the more pushback you're going to get from the devil. If the Lord is trying to lead, the devil is trying to oppose, and whatever God's trying to do, there's going to be problems. True, we've had problems. Sure, we've seen problems. I think God's brought, I think some problems have happened in the last few years. I think God's doing on purpose because God wants to do something here. He doesn't want us to just sit stagnant. He wants us to steward. Hey, we've given you all these things. We've given you his word. We've given you his spirit. We've given you prayer. We've given you this church. Let's steward these things and let's do something for God. Let's fight together. Everything that God is doing, the devil's trying to oppose. We don't serve God when things get better. It just doesn't happen. And we learn to serve God in the midst of it. That's when we understand more about the grace of God. That's what he's saying in verse number 1. Do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches, the unmerited favor that was put on these churches because they kept on serving in spite of what was going on. What is my part? Don't let your need rob you from your ministry. Let me say that again. And once again, that's not original with me. Many of these stewardship things today are not all original with me because there's a lot of great reading, a lot of great sermons about it. But one thing is sometimes people let their need rob them from their ministry. What do you mean? Because they have a need, they don't think they can serve. Well, I have this problem. I can't serve. If you got a sin problem, we need to get it right because God's not going to bless that. But they didn't stop serving in their deep poverty. They didn't stop serving in the great affliction. And that's why they're saying, here's this church. He was able to bestow grace upon him. If you wait for things to get better to serve God, you will never serve him. And then, so what am I supposed to do, Pastor? It's right there in verse number 5. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to who? To the Lord, right? That's what we're supposed to do. Lord, when you allow these things, when my finances get a little bit better, I'm going to give. When I start doing this a little bit better, I'm going to serve. No, you won't. There's always going to be affliction. You don't think the devil is going to bring something else in your life to try to convince you shouldn't serve? I mean, that's what's going to happen. That's why we have to steward it. This is God's church. This is not Pastor Pease's church. This is not your church. This is not for you to dictate how things are supposed to look and act. This is the Lord's church. And whatever the Lord's trying to do, if our hearts are open and say, okay, I'm willing to do whatever it is he wants me to do, no matter what it is, what some of us need to do is stop talking about all the problems and all the troubles and all the this or all that. And think, I can't do a part. It's my small ministry. I can't do this because I don't influence enough. And this, no, take the little we had, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, put it in the master's hands and see what God can do. Steward whatever he's given you. If you have just one small little ministry, give it over to the Lord. Give yourself to the Lord. Let him bless it whatever way he wants. But we have to have a heart that's open and realize we're fighting the same battle. Remember last Sunday night, during our trials, we learn humility. During our trials, trials, God gives us stability. During our trials, we learn God's ability. During our trials, we learn to trust in Him. During our trials, we seek God's wisdom. During our trials, we rest in God's love. Last week, did you steward those trials? Or did you continue to let it drive a wedge between you and God? Because that's what we fixated on. No, give it over to Him. When we all get together at the judgment seat, I heard a pastor say it this way, and I thought it was really, really good. You all get together at the judgment seat. You go before the nail-pierced hands and feet of Jesus. And then you're beside the martyrs. Are you going to really tell them our culture was too bad to serve God? I mean, we're there, and he bled. He died for us. Or we were going to look at him and say, you know, things were just really tough in my time. How foolish does that sound? How foolish do we allow ourselves to say inside our church and all the things He's given us, I love my church because what? Because this is where He wants me. I'm going to love it with all my heart. I'm going to do everything I can to be plugged in and open to whatever God wants. And yes, if there's people that are foolish and people that aren't doing everything they can, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to set an example. And even if it causes some affliction, I still want to serve. There is affliction and persecution that's going on. That's spiritual warfare. Do not miss what God's trying to do in our church. Steward those things. It's a privilege to serve God. The key is fight together, not against one another. Stewardship works in every area of our life, every relationship of our life. And the same thing with our church family. Next thing I want you to see, not only we are family. I hate saying it that way because I know there's a song that said that. We are family. But also we are in a fight. Next one is we have received the same grace. There's a word in verse number 1, grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Go down to verse number 6, and so much that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Verse number 7, therefore as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. You know, if you look at verse number 7, look, they were abounding in their faith, their utterance. You know, some people just talk and they think they're something special just because they talk. Forget it. Abound in grace, knowledge. Knowledge is good. Knowledge also puff it up. But at the same time, he's saying, despite all these different things, abound in this grace also. What grace? The grace that was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia because they learned to, despite their issues and their problems, to give give beyond their measure. You know, they gave joyfully. They went farther than they had to in verse number 3. Verse number 3 says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing to of themselves. You know, how can you give beyond your power? How can you do that? And I've heard preachers say, you know, it's because it was like the widow. They gave all that they had. They had things that were needed. And I think that's an apical point, but how do you give beyond your power? God gives you. He's the one that enables you. I'm going to give the way that God wants me to give, and it's going to be done in a supernatural way, not in my own personal way. And that's when it comes to our ministries, when it comes to how we behave, when it comes to our spiritual gifts, sometimes people can operate with a spiritual gift that they don't act like a spiritual person. I mean, there's all types of spiritual gifts. I think spiritual gifts are good in the Bible. I think these should be talked about. We should develop our spiritual gifts. But sometimes people use their spiritual gift of administration or of teaching or of preaching or of being an encourager, and they're not being spiritual, though, because they do it in their own strength. They do it in their limitations. What God wants us to do is be open to what He wants us to be. So are we going to steward this wonderful place He's given us? I know many of you love the church. Many of you talk about the church. Many of you filled out those hearts. I think some would say they love the church and they don't want to fill out the heart. That's dumb. Okay, that's fine. But why? What is it that's stopping you? Are we interested in what God has planned for us? Let's get involved. Let's be a part. Think about what we're not letting the Holy Spirit use because we're depending on ourselves instead of relying on what God wants to do through us. So, pastor, it's going to hurt sometimes. It is. The affliction's going to hurt. Sometimes when God is doing spiritual surgery on us and He wants to clean out something, it hurts. Sometimes there's no anesthesia to it. Sometimes it's just getting ripped off. I don't want that in your life. Real revival is us getting everything God wants out of our lives and putting in everything God wants into our lives. God, you don't want that? Okay. God, you want this? Okay. And that's being a good steward. And I'm not saying that we're not thankful for all those that help keep the building. We are, because we need that. Are we being a good steward there? Some ways, yes. Some ways, no, because there's not enough. I am very thankful for all those that the music ministry, I think that we try to steward that in a good way. I think that's a blessing. What is it God wants? Every area of our life, everything that comes in, our relationships, are we being good stewards? We got young Christians in our church, not a lot. We like to see more. Are you helping steward those? To be honest with you, and this might seem mean and negative, you might say, Pastor, you're just being nasty. In all reality, there are some people I don't really want to be around new Christians because they got the wrong attitude. They're not encouraging, they're not uplifting, they're not interested in what God's trying to do. They need to take care of themselves and figure out what's going on. But around new Christian, I've seen sometimes people get around new Christians and they motivate them and they influence them to where they were loving the Lord and excited about serving God. And then they're like, oh, Pastor, all things are bad around here and this, that. And they get that Eeyore syndrome. They were loving God. They were excited about the things of God. What happened? They got around somebody that wasn't. So remember, we're brethren. We're fighting the same battle. We should say, I want to get in. I want to do whatever he wants me to do. And then we need to understand that we've been provided this grace. We need a fresh dose of God's grace. If we understand the grace of God, we'll take this stewardship seriously. If we would all get a fresh experience of meeting and spending time with our mighty God, we will take our stewardship and say, you know what? God's showed me his unmerited favor in my life, and I'm so happy and I'm so thankful. And we're going to see people that are interested, and even though they're going in great affliction and even though they're in deep poverty, they still abounded to the riches of their liberality. They gave themselves first, and he says, take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They said, I want to minister to those that are in my church family. I want to love it. And I'm not just talking about providing things for them. I'm talking about developing relationships that's going to encourage one another to love the Lord and do the things that God wants me to. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles real quick. I know we got to finish up here. 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10. I was trying to throw this in there because it's so important and it matches up. 1 Peter 4:10. I think it definitely ties in with the other message, other portion. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received this gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so that's what they're saying here in the verses, in the other verses, is that grace here, grace there, and 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He's saying, I want you to take and I want you to minister. If you've received the grace of God, now we should minister that to others. We should steward that. We should minister grace one to another. It's something that, hey, I received this grace. I want to demonstrate God's favor to you in your life. I want to be gracious to you. I want to be kind to you. I want to be, because we're brethren, because we're in a fight, because we received the grace of God. Let us also minister that grace to others. And look what it says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That manifold, that's a wonderful word. It talks about the different cuts and the different things. You think about a diamond and a diamond that you look at and all the different reflections. It's beautiful. And it's the same thing with the grace of God, how it's so many different forms and so many different ways. It's the reflection that's there. And if we let God take that grace and put it in our heart and it's the many faceted sides of the grace of God, reflecting God's glory and God's mercy, we become stewards of that. It begins right here in our fellowship when we learn to let that reflect in our own hearts and lives. Why? Because we're family. Because we're in a fight. We're in a battle. And because of the fact that we've received that grace. He says, now be a good steward of that grace. I've showed that grace to you. Now you be gracious to somebody else. Inside your church family, yes. Once again, it's lining up the battle together. Is getting on the front lines to stand together and one next to each other as a soldier of Jesus Christ heading out to do his work and what he's called us to do. How many of us really take our Christian life and look at it that way? What is really sacrifice? When's the last time we really, truly sacrifice? Once again, my prayer for you today is the same prayer we started off the service with. God, speak to my heart. That's what I want, Lord. I look in the mirror, see the church of Macedonia's. I see some things that's lacking, and I want to change it. Let's pray.